This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
5:07 at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Good afternoon. Welcome to Hour 4 of your Afternoon Drive. The numbers remain 490-5858. Toll free, you can find us at 800-776-5858. On Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Live, you'll find the program at Drive KMJ. Joshua Weekly stands by to screen most of your calls. And I join Skip Echeverria back in the KMJ studio.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's 5 o'clock. This is where four. The fun starts.
Yes, it is. I know that you actually perversely pride yourself on being the unreformed, unpenitent square bear.
Yeah, I'm just learning how to roll with it.
We all have choices to make in life. Some of us choose to be fun.
Hey now. Sometimes you need somebody to be around to help clean up during the party or remind you not to get in the car and then drive you home. You're welcome.
Yes, it is good to have somebody to go, put your keys down and call an Uber. I will admit that is something that I would have benefited from having in my life at another time. I have only once blacked out as a result of consuming substances.
Okay.
But it wasn't my fault. I was, honest to God, I was roofied.
Okay, yeah, I mean, and it does happen to men, so I believe you.
It was an accident. I was at a bar with a circle of friends, Lloyd and Company, and I was single, and I had been introduced to this lovely young lady, and she and I were actually having a great time. We were having mm-hmm. a nice conversation, and we were both drinking long neck Budweisers. And we decided we were going to go outside because we were both cigarette smokers because this was, you know, back when people had fun. And so we like threw our napkins on top of our beers and went outside. We came back. We finished our beers. I vaguely remember the beginning of the second beer. And then I woke up on the couch at Lloyd's house at 5 o'clock the next morning.
Okay, so they meant to roofie her beer?
I believe that was the intention.
Well, I mean, thanks for taking one for the team.
So I was genuinely disoriented and distressed because, like, I remember being at the bar and I remember talking to this nice girl. And then I was waking up on a couch and it was, guys, if you've never had the experience, it was blackness. It wasn't
complete disorientation.
It wasn't dream. It wasn't spotty, scattered images. It was a void. I was standing in a bar with friends, and then I was waking up on a leather couch, and the sun was coming up. It was really distressing, and I knew I wasn't hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of did a little systems check as I sat up, and I'm going, no, nothing's broken. I'm still dressed. I'm okay. Somebody, okay, I fell asleep.
Well, good friends that looked out after you as well.
So, to this day, I have not ever recovered those memories.
Well, and you won't.
Yeah, well, I understand that now, but at the time it was like, oh my God, what did I do? Well, fortunately, these guys were honest with me and told me, you look like you got a little loose, but basically it was just big, loud, drunk Phil, and we took you and got you Taco Bell, and other than trying to get the girl at Taco Bell to climb out the window and come home with us, you were fine. So thank God, it was just, it's just a funny story for me. But it was disorienting, and it was a little bit scary for a minute, and there was just that sense of like, oh my God. And at the same time, also relief, because it was me blundering around acting like I was drunker than any two beers have ever gotten me in my life. My friends took care of me, and I was okay. In Milwaukee, a young man has a slightly different story to tell. It's not a bad story. It's not a sad thing. But it is not necessarily what I think he anticipated when he went out with friends that night. Let's go ahead and load that up. Whoop. Thank you, stupid. Sorry.
He wasn't calling me that. He was calling himself that.
Yes. Don't blame yourselves. It's just me.
What happened?
Well, apparently a drunk dude crashed with us last night that we don't know.
He's being taken away, though.
I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin with my buddies doing some police training, and we're in this Airbnb in downtown Milwaukee. About 2:30 in the morning, I heard some crashing around upstairs, and I thought it was this guy going to the bathroom.
It wasn't me.
So this morning, Matt says, "Hey, Charles, you got home late." And I was like, "No, it was like 11:30. So then we realize one of the doors is open. Matt and I start walking around the house while Nelson's in the shower. And Matt finds this dude laying in a bed in our house.
Dude broke into the house in the middle of the night.
This silly guy found the one Airbnb in all of downtown Milwaukee, Wisconsin, loaded with cops. He woke up in handcuffs. We called Milwaukee Police Department. They came and took him wherever they took him, and we're on our way to training.
No, we're renting. It's an Airbnb.
Is that going to be for the book?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, this is the first for that. I've woken up in random places. That's
crime doesn't stop, and Milwaukee needs our help.
We got you, Milwaukee.
Okay, so first of all, go to our Facebook or our Twitter so that you can see the young man that stumbled in on the house full of cops. I guess it's positive, the end result being that he was arrested and taken off or whatever, and it wasn't terrible. But, oh, I mean, is this somebody that just had a bad case of bad luck because he stumbled into this place drunk? Or is this somebody who probably has kind of a, maybe he's a repeat offender, if you will?
In all innocence, went and fell over and went to sleep.
He wasn't even cited or charged.
This says to me that this was rookie mode.
Okay.
This because somebody who is accustomed to debauchery and inebriation is probably going to keep bucking a little harder. They're going to make a spectacle of themselves, or they're going to have figured out their systems well enough to have gotten to something more appropriate than an Airbnb full of visiting cops.
So I'm torn on the fact that he wasn't cited or charged, because this could be a pivotal moment of, okay, dude, you went into the wrong house.
He went into the wrong house.
Right. And you're lucky it was a house full of cops, and that was the outcome. Or this could be one of the situations where, in not being held accountable, you don't have the natural consequences of your actions. I don't think he should have been completely released and not charged. I think at least a week's worth of community service. Make it something that requires some thought to think back on it. Because while this is funny, it's a cop, you know, bunch of cops in an Airbnb. I mean, if there were, let's say that was a family, there were children there. I mean, even if he was completely not a scary dude trying to do bad things, that could be a very traumatic experience if there were people in there that were, innocent to his being a complete jackwagon.
This could have gone a lot worse. It did not. My suspicion, because of course Milwaukee police isn't going to say exactly. My suspicion is that once this guy sobered up, because he was not sober when they called the cops in the morning to come and get him, because these officers were up to go to training. So it's probably 7:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. This cat's been passed out drunk as a lord for 5 hours. They probably stuck him in the drunk tank downtown for another 5 or 6 hours, which means at some point he woke up with the mother of all hangovers in jail. I'm thinking this guy woke up, started panicking, started crying. Oh my God, what happened? What did I do? You know, the freak out. And they realized he's never going to forget this. This isn't going to happen again because a grown man is weeping in the drunk tank.
Okay, so here's my question. If you don't cite somebody or charge somebody, is there still like a little category on their record where it comes up in case he ends up doing something that is related to losing complete control of himself because he was too drunk or high or whatever the case may be? Because I feel like there should be a, I don't know if it's like a...
Just a check mark in the old record.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that a modern police database would track contact. There's also the fact that you know that everybody in Milwaukee is walking up to this dude with the Milwaukee Post dispatch and a Sharpie going, "Hey, Beavis, will you autograph this for me?"
He does really look like Beavis, too. I think, look, he kind of got off on this in that he's not a scary-looking dude.
Well, a lot of things came into alignment for this to be a funny story.
Very, very lucky.
One.
I do like, though, that I know how much you hate TikTok, but I do like that the cops are using it as a community service and outreach tool.
I'm just stunned that guys from Montana could figure it out.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059, KMJ.
A heads up that if you're looking for some sweet deals, there's another one that is coming up at the end of the week. You'll be able to get your $25. Well, your $25 will get you $50 at John's Incredible Pizza. So if you like pizza or you have Rugrats that do, that's going on sale Friday at 9 a.m. It'll sell out fast. That's a guarantee. KMJNow.com. Okay, so coming up next week, we do have the next big like vaccination lottery raffle thingy that Governor Newsom will be doing. Maybe, fingers crossed, we have some Central Valley winners. That was one of the announcements here in the state to try and get people to pick up the rate of vaccinations for COVID-19. We've heard about this, these different kind of lotteries going on across the country. Shall we move north to where they're getting a little more creative with getting maybe a subset of individuals who have just been kind of sitting by going, do I really need it?
Joints for Jabs. This is a Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board promotion kicked off Monday. It's going to continue through July 12th, and this innovative incentive offers a free pre-rolled joint to customers 21 years or older who receive their first or second vaccine at vaccination sites and state-licensed cannabis retail outlets.
Now, the board had received quite a few requests from cannabis retailers because they want to support, right? Especially with COVID, because COVID messes up your respiratory system. So you got to make sure your smokers stay healthy so that you can sell them the weed. And they had previous promotions that included wine, liquor, and cocktails to anyone who was 21 and older who got vaccinated by June 30th.
So far, 48% of Washington State's population is fully vaccinated. That's compared to 42% of the wider U.S. population. Apparently, this kind of thing is also happening in Arizona, words that I thought I'd never say aloud.
Like, just let that sink in. This isn't a crazy Pacific Northwest blue thing. Yeah. Arizona was doing it with Moderna vaccines on a first-come, first-served basis called Snacks for Vax.
Yes, their vaccine recipients of 21 years of age or older got a free pre-rolled joint and an edible cannabis gummy.
Okay, I would be fine with just Snacks for Vax. Like, I'll take the snacks, but not the cannabis ones.
On
oh, gosh,
edibles.
No, I don't need it. Hilarious or an absolute mess, and then you'd be having to take me to, you know, get evaluated because I'm really afraid the world is ending.
There's the next bet consequence. There's the next lost bet. Gosh. Skip has to eat a gummy and do a show.
Oh. I once witnessed somebody who ate, I don't know, it was a cookie or something, and then I had to talk her down because she said she forgot how to breathe.
Yeah, that's somebody who went too far.
Yeah, too far, because what I hear about the edibles is they hit you fast. You got to start slow.
Well, you pay attention to your dosing, start slow, and pay attention to your dosing. Hydrotonics used to make, I don't even know if the brand still exists, but they did a green tea that for the life of me, it tasted exactly like Sobe green tea.
That's dangerous.
12-ounce bottle, long neck, open this thing. And so I'm just, it's a green tea.
You didn't know?
Well, no, I knew it was a cannabinoid infused beverage. I didn't know that it was three doses.
Oh, you didn't look at the nutritional.
I didn't bother to read it.
Oh.
Oh my God. I'll never do that again, right? Man. Holding onto the couch for fear of flying off the face of the earth. It's not a joke. When they say start with half, start with half.
And you know that I have impulse control problems when it comes to cookies in general. So you're going to tell me to eat half of one? Please. Anyhow, I love that Arizona is doing this in a similar way or has done it at the same time Washington makes the announcement, because I think that it proves that across the board, folks are moving forward with recognizing that marijuana is going to be the next thing like alcohol. I'm not opposed to it because people are 21. And if you choose not to do it, just please give me extra snacks that are cannabis free, because I know those are cheaper. Dude, I'd have been okay with a Pop-Tart. How come Fresno County Department of Health didn't give me a Pop-Tart? I'd have been fine. I didn't even get a sticker. I mean, but I'm appreciative that I got the vaccine, but still.
No, they saved your life, but you didn't get a tchotchke.
I mean, like, if we're doing this now because all the slackers, the sandbaggers waited till the end, Pop-Tarts would have been good.
Pop-Tarts would have been amazing. But that's the thing, is the guys who... It's guys. Let's face it. It's going to be mostly guys. It's not only men that smoke weed, and it's not only men who are dragging their feet on the vaccine. But let's face it. Snacks for the vax is 100% a dude thought that up. That there's way too much dumb testosterone on that. God bless America, because it works. This is not a demographic that was vaccine hesitant. The people who are going to avail themselves of this would have gotten vaccinated eventually. It was just a matter of putting the vaccine directly in their path.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess any more vaccinations are a net positive, so I don't really object to it. If you're going to do incentives, do more lotteries. Give me more stuff that I can put my little vaccine record in. Money, booze, dinner out, whatever. Because and I say all that knowing full well that even that's not really the solution. The real solution, and you know this as well as anybody, is to require proof of vaccination before anybody can have a winner sticker. How many times in your radio career has some random person hustled you? Do you have a station sticker? Do you have a winner sticker? Do you have a sticker? Do you guys have any stickers? Come on, don't worry. Right. Where are the stickers? Oh, my God. It hurt it in my sleep. You can only get the tchotchkes that we give out at remotes, movie premiere passes, winner stickers, the occasional much coveted keychain or lanyard.
Or T-shirt. Oh, you can make people do things for T-shirts.
Horrible, horrible things. $10 or show everybody your goodies. Woo! They want the T-shirt that bad. Start asking radio stations to take a nurse practitioner and some vaccine doses around. So when the prize piggies show up wanting whatever it is you're giving away that day, if you haven't already got the jab, you can get it right now, and then I'll give you two.
That is a fantastic way to move forward with it. We'll see. I mean, I'm crossing my fingers for the big lottery coming up next week, but you could be on to something. And but just recognize that if that, you know, becomes the next Newsom push, that Fresno summer remote weather is the most miserable thing to experience. I once sat in a brand new parking lot at the Vons at Herndon and Fowler, and it was so hot that the chairs dug into the new asphalt.
Did I ever tell you the story of Jeff Daniels at a remote?
No.
A listener who came looking for Jeff Daniels?
No.
Okay.
That's going to be an off-the-air story?
No, I'll tell that one on the air.
Okay. Well, let's come back with that, because I also have one about the guy from Helmet saving a young emo girl's life at Vans Warped Tour.
Let's do it.
That's on the way right now. It's news.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
5:36 on your drive home at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Got some more UFO stuff coming up in just a couple of minutes, but I thought that this was interesting because it is a sophomore effort for Annie Murphy. Most of you probably know Annie Murphy as the younger sister in the pop television, oh my God, every award-winning television program created by,
it was created Elliot by the Levy Brothers.
Father and son.
Yes, exactly.
Elliot, so Dan, the son, was really the creator, but Dad got on board.
Eugene,
thank you. Schitt's Creek is the name of the program that she was on previously, and it is that series has concluded its run. And by the way, that's SCHITT'S, Schitt's Creek that I'm talking about. I heard it on NPR done that way, and apparently that's, you just have to either spell it or play the theme song underneath every time.
Okay.
In any event, Annie Murphy in that program played this really kind of adorable ditz.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was everything you think of when you think of beautiful, rich, kind of like rode the waves of that with little parental oversight.
A lesser influencer who fully intends to maintain her standard of living via inheritance. She was fun. She was cute. And apparently she has decided that she is going to go in a completely different direction. Now we have a program with a title I actually cannot say on the air. Completely, period. So we're going to call it AMC's new dramedy, Kevin Can Love Himself. Although in this case, love is spelled with an F.
Yeah.
It is going to premiere later this month, Sunday, June 20th, 9 o'clock.
There's some good stuff coming out between Loki that just came out and then this one. And it's going to take on the stereotypes of, you know, what do we know about sitcoms? Super hot woman. It's always a way hotter wife with some dolt of a husband who definitely does not, like, is not in the same category or pay grade, if you will. And then just their strange little mishaps around, you know, living as a married couple.
That sounds vaguely familiar, like every sitcom since I Love Lucy. This reviewer sat down and watched this thing, and the way they describe it is it is a meta satire. Annie Murphy starring as Allison, a stressed out wife who only serves as a nag and a wet blanket to her boorish husband, Kevin. Their scenes together are shot like a Chuck Lorre sitcom. Laugh track, too much light, lots of pastels. But when Annie Murphy's character is alone, everything becomes this like moody, single camera, Breaking Bad type photography. And it's supposed to get very dark.
Yeah, so think of King of Queens. A prime example of somebody who was way outside of his hotness.
Punching above
level.
His weight.
Yeah. King of Queens on one side, and then this show that I've just heard tons about starring Kate Winslet, Mayor of Easttown, on the outside. So once she goes to her moody single camera, she's clearly unhappy with her life. pent-up rage and resentment and fantasizes about, well, physically assaulting her husband and starting new as a widow.
So the setup to this, I actually think, is... I agree. It's got a lot of potential. It's an interesting concept. But I think that they missed a trick here.
What is that?
Flip the formula. Make the husband a pedestrian but attractive person who's capable and competent and thoughtful and on top of things, and make the wife this kind of dorky, loud, you know. Mm-hmm. Flip the formula, but otherwise stick with this. I think you would have had every chattering knucklehead on television in the country losing their minds.
So I see where you're going with it being a switch of the kind of gender stereotypes in that way and the sitcom stereotypes. However, here's where I could see that nobody would want to touch that. I said she fantasizes about physically assaulting her husband.
Yeah.
The actual statement, which I'm reading this from the report because I don't like reading it, is that she fantasizes about stabbing her husband in the throat and starting fresh as a widow.
Yeah.
You flip the roles on that one and you will have so much, especially related to. And I don't think it's fair, by the way, because I don't think you should be fantasizing about stabbing somebody in the throat. Go to therapy, couples therapy, or get out of the relationship. But could you imagine the vitriol you would get and the concerns about? I mean, related to that.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're going to undermine the tropes, if you're going to undermine the tropes, really, really undermine.
Yeah.
Because everything you're saying is valid. Domestic violence and a man harming a woman is this horrible, gut-wrenching, disgusting thing that is on what network carries Law and Order 4 nights a week now?
I'm not sure, but...
Okay, so it's okay for Law and Order SVU to make their ratings on women and children being beaten, raped, taken advantage of. You want to subvert the sitcom thing? Subvert the sitcom thing. Really flip it on its head, because it's okay to portray men as oafish and stupid and helpless and feckless. If you portray a woman that way, if you just did it in a straight sitcom, if you took the scripts for Everybody Loves Raymond or Frasier or, oh my God,
King of Queens or any of those, like,
how about Big Bang Theory? Mm-hmm. But bunch of nerdy broads salivating over the cute guy across the hall. How many of the woke folk immediately go into clothing rending mode because you're being mean, you're degrading women? But sitcoms regularly degrade and undermine and devalue people. They just do it in a way that everybody goes, oh, well, yeah, it's okay. It's funny because it's, you know, they're making fun of how stupid guys are, and that's all right. I'm not saying that it isn't okay to make fun of how stupid guys are. We can be pretty stupid. Let's go back to Jab for a Joint. Okay.
Snacks for Vax.
Let's go back to that and let's do the statistics on how many of those vaccines are injected into men versus women. But if you want to undermine this, first of all, Annie Murphy doing like the full blown, like hacky sitcom thing, like taking that wonderful character that she played in her previous show, Schitt's Creek, Schitt's Creek.
Every time you say I panic inside.
I understand, but it's the name of the show.
It's a fantastic show.
It's a great show. It's a family name. There's nothing wrong with it. But if I just say the name. Rot it to its worst sitcom potential. Because you think about who she played on that show, and here's this kind of cute, kittenish, a little bit goofy, and actually let her be stupid, actually let her screw things up, actually require that some man come in on his big white horse and fix things. and then portray the reaction of a human being who has to constantly care for this oblivious goon. That they had a chance here to just completely nuke the whole sitcom trope setup, and they pulled their punch.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes over, because some of this like double life thing was what made WandaVision pretty successful and had people talking through the end of that over on Disney Plus. I could see why she took the role, because she played such a lovable ditz who really did kind of come into her own as Alexis.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, is this kind of a shedding off of that Alexis character to the point where it's almost a little painful to see?
Annie Murphy has to do something other than flaky and cute on her next outing, because that character is going to be, I don't think anybody who got involved, I mean, listening to Dan Levy talk about the program and all of the interviews that came with the final season and the subsequent awards, they knew they had something good. They knew they had something fun. They didn't realize that they were going to have a fan base that started holding conventions before they got into season six. She has to do something different. That's why Daniel Radcliffe went and did Equestris after Harry Potter. You know, like, okay, you think I'm a boy wizard. Here's my wand, everybody. Oh, and by the way, there's a live horse on the stage. Yeah.
You make a valid point.
You have to defy expectations. I'm still curious to see it. I love the premise.
It is a great premise. It is going to be one of those things, though, that when you're explaining it to, like, you know, much like the first show they were in, like to the kids. Okay, you can say this when we're talking about the show, but not any other time.
No, the F word's still a hard line, man.
No, that's no. Well, I'll be interested to see if they even say it on the show or if it's locked
it's
out
it's
like
AMC.
That.
I think they get one a season. That's how Breaking Bad did it.
As we get ready to wrap up this edition of the Afternoon Drive, you can find the podcast available after the show at KMJNow.com, which is where you can also get them for Broski and Musan, Ray Appleton, and the Weekend Lineup. Philip, I've always heard about, like, oh, wait until, you know, back when buffets were actually a thing, like, watch out, you don't want the football players coming in.
Sure.
But I actually know a scarier set, and that is a cross-country boys track team.
Okay.
Because those kids are going to eat all the carbs, and you're going to wonder, like, where are they putting them? But our kids have not ever really gotten into the food challenge stuff, like trying to, you know, win the T-shirt or
probably for the best.
Yeah. A few of them think they are going to do a hot food challenge, and I said, Sriracha's hot for you. You're not doing anything, sweetheart. But there is a whole big world on YouTube of people that somehow, they make videos, they do food challenges.
Yeah.
You know, the plate of 50 tacos, the big sandwich. There's like some anaconda burrito here in Fresno that's supposed to be some big deal.
There's the anaconda burrito. And at one time, I believe it was Sequoia Brewing did the Yeti, which was like a cheeseburger with everything in the restaurant piled onto it.
So instead, now we're going to go to a story of a YouTube food challenger who wanted to get in on a pizza challenge, a 28-inch OMG pizza challenge.
So huge chunk of food, her and a friend got to eat the whole pizza in 1 hour. Should they do it? The pizza's free and they win $100. And one more video for Raina Wong's YouTube channel where she posts videos of herself completing eating challenges. The owner of Steve-O's Pizza and Ribs in Aurora, Colorado, did not deal with Miss Wong being in his restaurant gracefully.
No, she asked about doing it. The owner asked if she was a professional competitor, and then he kicked her out of the restaurant, allegedly using profanities while doing so.
Yeah, she requests the challenge, asks if she can film it. The owner responds with the question about being a professional eater. She says she's done a few food challenges and recorded them for YouTube, and it devolves from there into a confrontation.
Which then she posted about, and that turned into the internet coming back.
So she says that she doesn't consider herself a professional eater because she doesn't participate in eating contests. She says the whole thing she's doing is more like man versus food. And she just travels around, does the challenges, and she's got 465 of them. No, she's won 465 of them, which is not everyone she's participated in, posted up on her YouTube channel.
So the question is, well, as a result, by the way, they received tons of calls, 50 people putting up one-star reviews because she did post that video. Is she a professional? She doesn't do the competitive eating, but she's able to travel around, make videos, and sustain herself. Isn't that like a professional?
Two quick thoughts. One, it's not posted anywhere in the restaurant that you can't be a professional. Two, it was free advertising. Bro, what are you doing?
And in a great flip on this story, too, the owner's daughter is having to do cleanup on the whole thing, basically saying dad feels really bad and probably apologizing on behalf of his behavior.
Guys, we got to go. Mark Levin's on the way. I'll see you Friday. Skip will see you tomorrow. Have a good night.